Other features of RP that set it apart from American English, even as long ago as the Revolutionary War days, include so-called broad A, as in path for path and grass for grass, and new stress patterns on words like satisfactory, secretary, laboratory, etc. And these don't just sound affected, they actually are. They were purposely put on in the latter half of the 18th century, part of a linguistic style that would sound new and different, a new linguistic fashion. So, linguistic innovations in America, linguistic innovations in England, often trending in opposite directions. But there's one more ingredient in the linguistic distancing that characterized the nativization period in the development of American English, and that's actually linguistic conservatism. Yes, Americans were pretty innovative from the get-go, but with colonialism often comes a degree of provincialism. And when you separate yourself from long-standing cultural centers like London, well, your language can take on a bit of a provincial character as well. Pronouncing our R's is a retention, not an innovation. And American English has also held on to older lexical items, like fall for autumn, and relic grammatical usages, like have gotten for have got. So the first truly American English was an interesting animal, at once conservative and innovative, at once nostalgic and forward-looking, and characterized by standardization, leveling, coinization on the one hand, and persistent dialect differences on the other. But that's America for you, isn't it? E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Let's close this chapter by circling back to where we began, to American words. We've talked about a lot of Americanisms in this lecture, including such widely adopted words as boss and Yankee. But what's the most successful Americanism of them all? Almost certainly, it's okay. There's a lot of speculation about where this word comes from, but here's a story from two experts on the American English lexicon, Frederick G. Cassidy and Joan Houston Hall. Among their many accomplishments, Cassidy and Hall are the editors of the compendious Dictionary of American Regional English. This is a six-volume reference work on American words with particular regional and social connotations. So what do they have to say about the word okay? Well, it all starts in the early decades of the 1800s. For whatever reason, journalists in Boston and New York began using initial letters as words, a process known as initialism. So these journalists would write things like NG for no good or KY to stand in for a comically misspelled version of no use. And then there was GTT for gone to Texas, used to refer to someone who had run off, most likely to escape their debts. This type of wordplay should sound familiar. If you text at all, you probably know what OMG, LOL, and BTW stand for, right? In case you don't, it's oh my God, laughing out loud, and by the way. So just when you thought initialisms were a new phenomenon, or that texting was ruining the English language. If they are, then the language has been in decline for a lot longer than we thought. Anyway, another initialism that sprung up was OK. It stood for all correct, spelled wrong, O-L-L-K-O-R-R-E-C-T, or something like that. Political opponents of Andrew Jackson derided his lack of formal education and used the misspelled phrase and its initials to highlight his alleged illiteracy. Jackson was succeeded in office by Martin Van Buren. When Van Buren sought re-election, his supporters started using OK in a positive sense, and Van Buren was declared to be the OK choice for president. BTW, by the way, OK also came to stand for Old Kinderhook, a nickname given to Van Buren in reference to his birthplace, Kinderhook, New York. Well, Van Buren lost his bid for re-election, and his opponents proclaimed him K.O., the opposite of OK, knocked out. But OK itself won out. It's now used all over the world, by native and non-native speakers of English, and by lots of people who don't even speak English. They still know the word OK. Well, that's one story anyway. Word histories, etymologies, can be murky, and sometimes a good story is worth more than a dry account of what might have actually happened. But there's no denying the importance of OK and a host of other Americanisms that arose in early America in the exonormative stabilization period, the nativization stage, and beyond. And we're still neologizing today. And IMHO, that's tech speak for, in my humble opinion, That's a good thing. Adaptability keeps languages alive, just like it keeps nations progressing forward.